Tuesday, September 19th, 2006, Upon Further Review, episode number 15. You know, everybody's supposed to get about 15 minutes of fame eventually. For this episode, we gave you about 50. Hey, what can we say? Sometimes even 15 minutes just isn't quite enough. Oh, Upon Further Review, welcome in. I'm Greg.
I'm Cleo.
And we have with us today a very special guest who we promised last week, and we have delivered upon our promise after a little bit of working on a recording, and that is Steve from Wicked Good Podcast and the Extra Points Podcast. Welcome, Steve.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. We are going to have Steve with us for the entire show today, and we're going to be doing three things as normal, but we've got a lot of things we're going to be talking about. This is kind of a game-oriented, you know, show, I feel. Like, we've got Gamefly, you know, Yahoo Game. It's just a lot of games that we're talking about. It's game time.
That's important to you, I know.
And not to you, my dear?
Well, you know, considering the fact that you had to tell me that I won...
I know. That's totally true. I should say, by the way, that, you know, we actually have the guy who coordinates the Celebrity Podcaster League, and Clea and I went down.
Did we win?
No, we went down in hideous defeat.
We won the first.
After winning in glorious victory.
Yeah.
So we're right now kind of neutral. After glorious and hideous, I guess that's neutral.
A one in one, you know, as debaters, one in one bracket isn't a bad place to
be. No, I guess that's not bad. What's your take on the league so
and
far?
And you're still
Steve?
Doing better than I am, which is...
That's in your personal league, yeah, I know, but you've been watching the Celebrity League. What do you think about the Celebrity Podcasting League so far? What's your, do you have any impressions of it?
Do I have any impressions of it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm thrilled that everybody's getting into it. It seems like, I mean, it's interesting because we have some people who are very into fantasy football like you guys. And then we have some people who are brand new. I mean, Matt from the Red Boy Podcast, literally, and he went through this on his show as well. He literally the day of opening day, he was on Skype with me for about a half an hour asking me if he could start two quarterbacks and what BN stood for, which is bench, and just basic stuff. And he outscored everyone in the league that week. So it's very, very interesting to me. And there's always an element of luck involved, but it's very interesting to me to see people who are very into football, like Mrs. B, and people who just have barely know anything other than there's like an oblong shaped ball and there are uprights and sometimes it goes through them.
Right.
So it's definitely very entertaining for me to see everyone getting into it too. I think everyone's really getting excited about it. And it makes me excited too, so...
Yeah, it's cool. I'm glad that you were able to set it up. Yeah, and we'll talk more about the fantasy football part of it when you get there. But I was just since you're the you're the resident football expert, I wanted to bring that stuff up. So
you wouldn't know it from my team's record, of course. But.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I know that's
where Greg is every year. Greg gets pissed off. I don't know why he does it, but every year he does it, and around like halfway through to three quarters of the way into the season, he gets really, really angry. He's like, I don't understand it. I know this sport. I'm really good. I know all the different things. I don't know why is my team sucking. And usually, it's because all of his team members are sick or have. Or
yeah, it's because they're. It's because they have the Wilson plague effect. They've joined my team, and so they all immediately are like, "Ah, it's time for death. We can all now go throw ourselves on our swords because we've
kind
joined
like the Boston Red Sox.
We've joined the Phoenix team. Oh, that. See, there's no need for that kind of. There's no need for that shot. There's just no need for that.
Season's over anyway.
I know. Well, I know it was over about a month ago for us, right?
For you, it's only one thing. I supposedly know what I'm talking about, and. Put that out on a weekly basis. So everyone's listening to me and saying, oh, what do I do on my team? And meanwhile, I'm 0-2. So, yeah, it's... But listen to Extra Points anyway, because I do really know what I'm talking about.
Right. See, I was going to say, like, it's you know, you're really good with other people. I can see that. You know, you fix other people's problems. That's all.
I just need a little physician heal thyself is what I need.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about three things. We're going to start by talking about Gamefly, which is a kind of a Netflix for games, and Steve is going to be anchoring the review on that. Then we're going to be moving on to talk about Yahoo Fantasy Football, and all of us will have something to say about that since we have some experience with it. And then we're going to conclude by talking about Nowhere in Mulberry, which is our podcast segment of the week. Let us start by talking a little bit about Gamefly. And Steve, maybe you can take the lead on starting by explaining what this is, what it's about, and why it's cool.
Well, so this whole experience came about when you guys were talking about trading in games at EB Games. I don't remember how many weeks ago that was. And
episode 9 or something, one of those episodes.
Yeah, something like that. So, and I've never been a big fan of trading in games because I just feel like you get screwed both ways. So and
true.
I've always been more of a renter. I think people fall into either one of two categories. Either you're a trader or you're a renter. So I've always been more of a renter. And
okay.
I went with Hollywood Video and Blockbuster for a while, but that was always a very frustrating experience. And then about almost 3 years ago, I signed up for Gamefly, which is essentially, it's Netflix for video games is really what it is.
Okay.
I mean, they're not affiliated or anything, but if you've ever used Netflix or you ever heard of Netflix, the basic idea is very much the same. You pay X amount of money per month. It goes anywhere from $15 to, I think, $35 a month, depending on how many games you want to have out at a time. And then they send them out to you via U.S. mail. You keep them for as long as you want. Once you're done with the game, you send it back, and then they send you the next one on your queue.
Okay.
So it's very similar to Netflix. If you've ever used Netflix, it's the same basic concept.
Okay. Well, now, I've heard about it because we had a roommate that used to do this, and I'm a big Netflix person, have been for a couple of years now. And I thought about it because me being, you know, the annoying girlfriend, now wife, don't like wasting money, and I don't like it if, you know, these games can get pretty expensive. But I never thought about it for Greg because he, being a somewhat conscious husband, doesn't sit down and play games like all 24/7. And so the concern is...
Which is really
Netflix,
my fault, which is really my bad, honestly. I should be doing that very clearly. I just don't, I mean, I'm just an idiot.
But that's, I mean, the thing,
you know, your PlayStation is going to start feeling neglected.
I know. Yeah. Well, I know. I every time I boot it up, it gives me that, you know,
yeah,
type of thing.
No,
so, yeah,
it's true. But when you have Netflix, you're renting movies, and movies are going to be an hour to, you know, 3 hours long, and then you're done. But games can go so much longer. So I would wonder how many games you could actually fit in a month. And that's why I never really thought of it.
Right. And we'll get to that, because that's actually one of the downsides of Gamefly. But
okay.
I don't want to go to the negative just yet.
Okay, okay.
I should say, by the way, that you can get this at www.gamefly.com.
Yeah. So let me ask you, when you trade in a game, so let's say you trade in, you bought a game for $50 and you trade it in, say, a month later, how much do you get back in trade typically?
If I were to trade in, let's say that I bought a game and it wasn't a sports game, and I traded
right.
it in, you know, right back, say, 3 weeks later, probably, if I paid $50 for a game, I probably would get about $25 in trading credit. If it's that quick, it's usually about half, maybe slightly above, and then it very quickly drops. And if it's a sports game, forget it. Yeah. 2 months in, you're in
deep
trouble.
Well, but usually he has them for more than just a couple of weeks. He has them for a couple of months.
Right.
And then there are definitely some games that he never gets rid of that he keeps because they're
good.
His favorites.
They're good.
So, but you go maybe through like one game a month or something like that, right?
I would say, yeah. I would say that would be the top
okay.
of the rate, yeah.
So for that, I mean, if you're talking about the $21.95 plan, you got two games for that month, and then you can keep them out as long as you want, and that turns into two or
right.
four or however many you want. You know, if you get a bad game, you just send it right back. If you get a good game, you can hold on to it for a while. I've held on to games for a couple months until I've beaten them, and that's the nice thing as opposed to renting it like a Blockbuster or a Hollywood Video. Well, I mean,
right.
a Blockbuster technically has no more late fees, but you don't have that time pressure of I got to play this like 24/7 because I need to get my time in before I have to give it back. And the other really nice thing about it is that, well, one of the other advantages over like a Blockbuster is that they have a much better range of selection of games. So they have kind of more obscure games, whereas Blockbuster is really kind of making sure to get on the shelves like the Madden and the
right.
Grand Theft Auto and the games that they know they're going to rent. And maybe they have one or two copies of you know, whatever the, like Katamari Damacy or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because that pretty much summarizes Blockbuster period, doesn't it? Like Blockbuster never has anything unusual at all. It's just sort of like, you know, take the next last five Schwarzenegger action movies and, you know, add in a couple of, you know,
yeah,
random romantic comedies and you're done, you know?
I don't want to talk about Netflix too much, but that's kind of the similar thing between Blockbuster and Netflix. Is Netflix, you can get the obscure, you know, European
right,
flick, and
right.
while Blockbuster, yeah. it's mainly what the hot picks are.
Right, and it's even more so with games because you don't want to spend... You know you're going to buy Madden if you're going to buy Madden. You don't know that
right.
you're going
right.
to... You want to spend $50 on this weird game that you've never really heard of but sounds kind of interesting.
Right.
So those are the games you really want to rent anyway.
Right.
So
yeah, no, it's true.
But if you like the game, you can actually keep it, and you can pay them, and it's generally a discounted rate. It's a used rate. You can buy... I think it's generally about 20% off. If you're a non-member, you can buy... You can even just go there. Even if you don't want to sign up, you can still buy used games from their store as a non-member, and they'll sell them to you, and it's free shipping.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. So you can, do you get anything toward, okay, so it's 20% off. Okay. But they're not, see, the only thing is they'd be selling it to you at a new price though, right? Theoretically, besides the 20% off, like they'd be selling it to you. Like if I got,
Are you buying a used game that lots of other people have played?
Or right. That's the question. Yeah.
Well, it depends, because it depends on how long it's been out. I mean, typically it's not going to go through too many hands. I've bought, one of the first things I bought right away was Project Gotham Racing 2, and I put that game through its paces. And this was probably a good year or so after it came out. I've never had a problem with it.
Do you have the same problem that of Netflix, where sometimes you get them and they don't play? Or does that not really happen all that often?
I don't think I've ever had a game come to me from Gamefly that didn't play. But another thing that I do, I kind of handle a little differently because I'm typically getting new releases as soon as they come out. So instead of buying a new game, I kind of clear out my queue and wait for that one game that I really want. And I just wait a few extra days and I'm getting it as though it were a new release.
Right.
Madden for a non-member is $35.99 today.
Wow.
That's for a non-member.
Okay.
So now as a member, you get additional discounts on top of that. So, or actually, that may be a member price because that may be showing it to me. That may be for a membership price because it says keep it and not buy it. But so that would be a member price.
Still, though, that's pretty cool because, like, that's the thing that always bothered me about it a little bit was that, you know, I have a tendency if I really like the game, I don't want to have to think about keeping it. And then I feel like after a couple months, I'm like, you know, I'm somehow not using the service properly because I want to hold on to it. But if you could actually buy a game that you have a chance to try out and then you're like, this is great, I'm going to keep it at a discounted rate, then that's sort of, you know, you'd be doing that anyway, I guess. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. And another thing that they've just implemented maybe 6 months ago is a rewards program. So after you've been with them for X amount of time, you actually get additional discounts on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So since I've been with them for more than a year, I get an additional 10% off of everything else that I'm already paying. So for me to buy Madden today, it would cost me $32.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Plus they give you $5 coupons every so often. So if I waited a little longer, it would probably even be less than that. I actually bought a game brand new a week after it came out for half the price I would have paid in the store, and I was the first one to get it. So even though it was a used game, it's essentially a new game that they just happened to open up the box before it got to me.
That's pretty cool.
So I can see it's doing the same thing with Netflix. Like it has this $9.95 thing. Is that just like for the first month, and then it goes to something higher?
It may be. I wonder if that is the price for the one game plan now. I thought the one game plan was like $16 a month, but I pay $30 a month for three games out at a time, and I think that's a perfectly reasonable deal.
Uh-huh.
And I think two games is $22 or something like that. I'm not sure how much.
You're right. It's $21.95. It's saying $9.95 on the front page, but I'm wondering if that's just like for the first month, and then it maybe takes you to the $16.99 that you were saying.
Because the one thing I was thinking about was that if you're dealing with, like, I mean, I really wait a while before I pick up a game, and then I get it and play it, you know, living bejesus out of it. And so I was wondering about that a little bit. Like, I'm waiting anxiously for Neverwinter Nights 2, which I'm going to bring something up about that in a second, for PC. And, you know, when I get that, I mean, I don't know that my costs for gaming amounts to, you know, $21.95 a month. It probably doesn't. So that's the only thing, is that I guess you'd have to sort of apply it based on how much you actually have chance to play games during a given period of time.
And I wonder, does it change your gaming much? Like, I know Greg's someone that will wait, find the right game, and then play it, as he said, until it's done, and maybe play it more and more and more. Have you found yourself sometimes starting a game and going, you know, I've had enough of it, and since you didn't buy it, you could go ahead and just send it back and get something new and not having to finish it?
Yeah, there have been some games I've turned around in a day. I mean, I'm definitely a much more promiscuous with my gaming habits than I was before I started using Gamefly.
That's a little disturbing, Steve. I just want to say right off the bat,
I don't have as much invested in it because I'm more willing to try games now. Like something like Metroid Prime Hunters, which I really didn't have a good feeling about, but I'm like, let me give it a try anyway and see if I like it. If I like it, I'll play it. If not, I'll send it back. And sometimes, they'll sit on the shelf for a few weeks until I realize that, oh yeah, I should probably send that back because I haven't played it in a couple weeks. But since I'm usually getting new releases, it's not that big of a deal because there hasn't been anything else to come out. So now it's actually, now that we're getting into the fall season, it's getting a little hairier that way. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, when you do keep a game, they do send you the original case and the manual, which is more than you sometimes get when you buy a used game from EB Games as well.
That's pretty cool.
So.
And then I was going to ask about, the one thing I was noticing was about PC games, and looking at their FAQ about this, they say that they're not going to rent PC games because of legal issues. You're not able to trade in PC games a lot of lot of cases too for the same reason, which I find very irritating, but that's for another discussion. But I'm also a PC gamer, and I would say that I'm probably maybe 60-40 PC to console, and I wonder a little bit about that in relation
that might
to this.
Be a problem.
I mean, we do have PlayStation 2 and GameCube, and we actually have a couple games we just got for those two systems, so it's not like we don't buy anything for them, and obviously like Madden we get for the consoles and whatever, but I'm wondering a little bit about the PC end angle. I wonder if there's a right. service like this for PC games, actually, or maybe not. I guess
probably not.
I think there's a couple of download services, though I'm not sure of any off the top of my head. So that is one of the downsides.
GameTap, right?
I think GameTap is more classic games, though. That's more classic console games. I know that there's a couple of download services, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. But that is one of the downsides. They don't rent PC games. Another thing that they don't rent are any peripherals that are necessary for the games. So let's say you have a game that needs a microphone or a dance pad or something like that.
Dance Revolution, right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They'll rent you the game, and if you already have the peripheral, then you're good to go. But if you don't have the peripheral, then it's useless. They actually, the game that I ended up buying for half price, Odama for the GameCube, requires a microphone in order to play, and it's not, the microphone for the GameCube is not, I think it's packed with the game, and it's not a common peripheral. And they actually sent out an email, because I had it on my list, and I've been waiting for it for like a year. They said, well, we'll rent it to you, but it's our policy not to send out the microphone, so you're really not going to be able to do much with it. Like, thanks,
you're
guys.
Like, thank you so much.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty rare that there's a problem like that, and usually it's something like, you know, a Karaoke Revolution game where you have the microphone for it already, but there's those rare instances where it
only
won't
those Freakazoid GameCube games, Steve, let's be honest. Only the ones where you need, like, you know, the power glove and, like, you know, the super spinny robot guy, you know.
All right, well, any other positives?
No, just a couple more negatives.
Okay.
They only ship within the U.S., which isn't a big deal for us, but if you're in Canada, you're out of luck.
Okay.
But really, everything's been glowing so far, and now you're probably waiting for what's the catch, right?
Yes, that's the catch.
So the catch is that, much like Netflix, they send everything via U.S. mail. The reason Netflix works out so well is because Netflix has depots all over the country. So, for example, we've got one in Worcester, which is the next town over for us. We throw it in the mail, we get a Netflix thing the next day.
Okay. Right.
Gamefly's only warehouse is in California. Yeah. So what that means is that if you're on the West Coast, it's great. If you're on the East Coast, you're at the mercy of the Postal Service.
I see.
And especially around Christmas time, that gets kind of dicey. And I've noticed the longer we've been with them, it used to be very consistent. It used to be 3 days out and 3 days back. It was about a week turnaround. Lately, it's been anywhere from we've gotten some games in 2 days after they've shipped them. On the other hand, my lovely wife, Maureen, had asked for Harvest Moon, which they said shipped a week ago, and we still have not gotten it. So it's there's a big gap as to when you're actually going to get something. Now, obviously, things get lost in the mail. It could be that game got lost in the mail. But that is really, if you're on the East Coast, you definitely do not get as much for your money as you would be closer to California. So that's the big downside of Gamefly. I mean, they've been around for 3-4 years. I've been hoping they were going to open up an East Coast warehouse, but they still have not done so yet. There's rumors every once in a while, but not so much yet. So that's the real big downside, especially if you're on the East Coast. If you're on the West Coast, it's not an issue.
And if you're one of our Australian listeners or people in England or elsewhere, then you should try to, you know, you should agitate. One of the most important things you can do right now is agitate in your own country for Gamefly. Yeah, you forget about the other issues in the world, Iraq and all that stuff. What's important is agitate for a Gamefly or something equivalent near you. All right, so what do we want to do for a rating on this, Steve? I guess, you know, Clea and I are going to defer to you on this one since you've actually used the service. And it's a 10-point scale, as you know, our new 10-point scale.
Right. So I won't give any 0.5 because I don't want Clea to jump through the TeamSpeak connection and strangle me.
wise choice.
I am going to give it 2 ratings, though, based on whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast. My base rating would be a 7 if you're on the West Coast. If you're on the East Coast, I would knock that down another point to a 6 just because of the extra turnaround time.
Okay.
But if you do play a lot of games and your budget is, you know, not unlimited, I would definitely at least give Gamefly a try. If you're willing to be a little bit patient for the games, it can certainly save you a lot of money in the long run.
Okay. Sounds cool. All right. So we give Gamefly, through our guest reviewer, a 6 or a 7, depending on where you live in the world. If you're in Australia, it's a 0 out of 10, as is the United States bias. Both of those things are 0s out of 10. All right. So let's move on to talk about the second.
Did you say the United States bias?
The United States bias incumbent in Gamefly. You know, like they're just, you know, what up with that?
I thought you were saying the world's bias against the United States giving a 0 out of 10.
And that too, but we haven't gotten into reviewing the U.S.
I give
yet.
That a 2 out of 10 because we do kind of deserve it a little bit.
I would agree with that. Okay, so let's move on to talk about the second item for today, which is the Yahoo Sports Fantasy Football League, Yahoo Fantasy Football. And this is something which all of us have done. Steve, is, as we mentioned before, runs the Extra Points Fantasy Football Podcast, so he obviously knows a great deal about fantasy football. And I guess Clea and I got involved in fantasy football probably, I guess 6 years ago, something like that, or 5 is when I started doing these leagues, and then Clea got involved a couple years ago, and last year made the playoffs while my pathetic team languished in the basement, so that was not a fun time in the Wilson household for fantasy. But you can find this at Fantasy Sports. If you go to Yahoo, I'm not even going to give you a website, if you go to yahoo.com and click on Fantasy Sports, you'll be able to work your way over there.
It isn't, quite extremely easy, actually.
Well, I mean,
like sports and then fantasy sports.
I guess, but if you want to play fantasy sports, you'll find it.
If you just go anywhere on the Yahoo webpage, there'll probably be an ad for it somewhere around there. I've seen ads everywhere in my mail, on the news page, everywhere. Go to Yahoo somewhere. Eventually, you'll stumble across it.
Absolutely.
And it's not
true.
Too late, right? People could still do this if they want to.
Yeah, is it too late?
Yeah, I believe that they're taking signups through week 8 or something like that.
Okay.
So
there
are still mid-season leagues that form. Yeah.
Okay. And the great thing about fantasy football through Yahoo, there's a couple things. First of all, in the bad old days of fantasy sports, people had to do this manually. And I cannot imagine what it would take to have the clown who's got to sit around and collect stats and then, gather them together and crunch algorithms to just no, thank you. Yahoo is able to handle all that electronically. And in addition, you can get a premium league, and you can get things within the premium league. Like, there's Stat Tracker, which is associated, that you can get in either league. You can get the full, range of things, which costs money, or you can play it for free. So you can essentially play the fantasy football for free, which to me is a big positive for it. And I think it's good. My sense is that over time, it's gotten, by the way, I should mention in case you don't know what this is, fantasy football basically is where you draft players from actual teams onto your team, and then based upon their real world performance, you get a number of points associated with what they've done in the real world for that given day. And it's become really a phenomenon. I don't know if you have any numbers on that, Steve, but I assume that it's become this huge, huge deal in America and even worldwide, playing fantasy sports, right? Particularly football?
I don't know any numbers, but I know every year there's some sort of a study about how many millions of dollars American companies are losing in productivity due to people checking their fantasy football teams and doing research. So when they're worried about lost productivity, it's a big deal.
Yeah, we have a friend who went to fantasy football law school. That's pretty much what he spent most of his time in classes.
In fact, you know him. This is our friend Andy, who you'll often hear.
Yeah, who went to Columbia Law School and played lots and lots of fantasy sports.
It was ridiculous. He'd just be tort reform. We're like, what? He's like, oh, no, it's just something the professor said. Sorry. Anyway, I'm drafting a running back.
Well, how else is he supposed to fund his education, right? I mean, that's what he puts the winnings towards, his education.
Right.
Or not. Or beer, or whatever it happens to be.
Absolutely. No, it's true. That's true. And he's good. That's true. The other thing about this, basically we've always played it for, essentially bragging rights. But as time has gone on, Yahoo has instituted all these other things where you can do public leagues. You can do leagues that, where your performance is rated against everybody else. And then there's prizes that are associated with it. So, I don't know in terms of comparing it to other diversions, and other versions of fantasy football, but I've looked at CBS Sportsline. I've looked at some of the other ones out there. And I've always thought that Yahoo Fantasy Football was sort of the best combination of free and intuitive that I found out there. It's maybe not as intuitive as some, but it's certainly more free than some. And so it's the best combo for my money.
And they give you more features. I actually got sucked into a league on ESPN this season. And one thing that I noticed about ESPN is they want you to pay for even more than Yahoo does. They'll tell you how many points your players scored in a given week, but they won't break it down for you. You have to pay for the actual breakdown of the stats.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's okay, I got 24
what do you
points.
Mean he
I have no idea
points.
How I got there. But it's I got 24 points. Yay. It's it's completely useless. So they really want you to pay for their Insider or Edge or whatever their... I think it's just their one ESPN.com thing. But, Yahoo at least tells you what the stats are. They may not give it to you right away. You have to pay after the first week for Stat Tracker, which gives you the live updates during the game. And so you won't know until the next day. But at least they eventually tell you something, as opposed
right.
to ESPN.
Right, right.
So.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Well, Clea, what's been your experience since you've been in the fantasy football leagues now? What's it been like for you?
Well, for some, I was one of those people that football was always the sport that I preferred most watching on television, but I wasn't a big sports person, and Greg needed, they needed a 14th person, so that's how I got dragged in. But I found for someone that doesn't know much about sports and didn't know anything about fantasy football, that the site and the program is very easy to maneuver mm-hmm. and very easy to figure it out. And so very easy to kind of get understanding of the rankings of different players, of the different positions, figuring out how to, what's the word I'm looking for when you ranking your... When you rank,
to pre-rank players?
Pre-rank players, stuff like that.
I'll get into rankings in a second.
I was able to figure out how to do that quite easily. I did still have to use outside websites to get additional information around what players I should pick up.
Right.
It doesn't have a lot of information. Like, what's that one website we use a lot? The
Fanball.com.
And stuff like that. I still had to use other websites to get information. They have, for each player, they have some information and they'll have notes, but not every player has notes and it's not always updated. And quite often the note will be, simply because they might mention the person's name in the note, they'll have it, even though it might have nothing to do with that person.
Right, right.
So that's not always very helpful.
Right, especially because you're just like, blah, 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 broken finger, Burleson. You're like, what? And then you go to it, it's like someone else had a broken finger, which means more time for your guy, and you're like, oh my God. I was going to say about the ranking system, and Steve, maybe you can comment about this. Among fantasy football players, Yahoo rankings are widely considered to be a joke, because they are a joke, and because I don't know how exactly Yahoo goes about in its ranking system, but if you're trying to do a draft, we highly recommend that 90% of the time, if you're able to and a permission allows it, you're there for the draft, because auto-drafted teams based on Yahoo rankings, even if you try to pre-rank your players, in other words, ranking them in the order that you'd like them to be drafted if they're available at that time, just never seems to work out as well. And I don't know what you think about the ranking system, Steve, but I don't know what Yahoo smokes over there, but they don't know rankings.
Yeah, well, we did an auto-draft for the Extra Points League, and was it you guys that ended up with Jerome Bettis?
No.
Or no, it was one of the other teams ended up with Jerome Bettis, who is not going to be getting any fantasy points because he's currently in the broadcasting
booth. Correct.
So
that's hilarious.
And the fact that he was even trying, I mean, and it's not like, you know, I mean, maybe they're not up to date, whatever. He retired at the end of last season, so they had plenty of time to update their rankings and get him out of there.
They're like, Jerome Bettis, that guy's going to go and retire any day now. You got to pick him up and stash him on your bench.
Yeah.
They know something we don't know.
One of the people in the league, whoever had it, to ask me if he could get points if Jerome Bettis reaches over and smacks one of the other broadcasters or something like that. But
that'd be awesome.
But the other thing is, when you're looking at their, what they do is, when you're going to work the waiver wire, which is where all the players who aren't currently on a team who are available to be picked up in case you need to replace a player.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They have a screen where they'll list them all, but they rank them by their projections.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is extremely, extremely useless, because their projections are, first of all, for the full season, which means nothing once the season starts.
Right.
And they don't take really into account anything. So, for example, I'm looking at it right now. At the top of the list is Trent Green. Well, Trent Green is currently recovering from the hit to the head that he took
from
in
death.
Week one, and he's probably not going to be back for several weeks.
He's recovering from death. I saw that hit. Yeah, he's recovering from death.
Oh.
So it's like, and then you go down, and it's like one, like 9 or 10 players down the list at the top of their rankings. There's one guy who's not even active, and right. Then you have Priest Holmes, another 20 down, who's basically semi-retired
Priest
at this
Holmes.
Point.
Bastard.
So, so you have these guys who are projected really high, but they're completely useless. So to a new player who really doesn't know what they're doing,
right?
It's very, very misleading to go by those numbers. You're like, oh well, this is ranked from best to worst. This must be who I want, but absolutely not.
Right.
And you really need to go to another website. A couple that I like just to share with your audience if you're happening to get started with fantasy football, and I'm giving you guys free advice as well. RotoWorld.com is much better for news than the notes on fantasy football.
Yeah, that's what I would use.
RotoWorld is like my crack during the day at work. And fftoday.com is very good for taking stats and ranking players in your own scoring system too, because every scoring system is different. Every league assigns different points for rushing yards and receiving yards and touchdowns. So fftoday does a really nice job of giving you realistic projections, as well as taking stats and translating them into numbers. You can actually see what the numbers mean in terms of fantasy points.
Oh, cool.
So that's one of my favorites as well for doing research.
Cool.
I always ignored the Yahoo rankings, and I would look to, like let's say it's the beginning of this season, they don't have any points yet. So what I would look is the last year, and then I would look for the average week points to get an idea of who did. And then obviously if there's certain, like if you're looking for quarterback, you want to look at how many touchdowns and their passing yards and and things, and then each, you know, each position has the different things that they do that, that get them the most points. But I would always look at the average per week instead of kind of looking to see overall what their total is, because it's that on the week-to-week basis that matters to me, because that's when I'm going to
win. And I think that on a, you know, I think for to sort of from a big picture perspective, I think that this is one of those things that if you enjoy sports, you know, it's a game that you can really get into. And the other thing it is, if you happen to like football, the great thing about this is if you don't have DirecTV or one of the things that people advertise, it's like, you can get every game. Well, I don't have that and I don't have the money for it, okay? So if I have a game that I'm sort of forced to watch, if I have players in the game, it makes it a lot more interesting for me to have to watch, you know, Raiders Browns or something god awful like that. And it also leads to these funny moments, by the way, where, you know, people will be running down the side and you're like, no, you bastard, lateral it to the backup tight end to score the touchdown. It's just totally, like, there have been so many examples where you've had guys who are just like, you know, what? Trent Green has lost his mind. He's playing defensive end and gets a sack. How is this possible? Only in the world of fantasy is this conceivable, right? So it is a lot of fun, and it's the kind of thing that I think everybody can enjoy. Even if you haven't done it before, you can get into it reasonably easily.
Absolutely. And if you're looking to learn more about the game of football beyond just your team, or even if you have no knowledge of football whatsoever, I actually did not follow football at all before I started playing fantasy several years ago. And I just got really, really into it, and fantasy got me into it. And fantasy, because you have to pay attention to all the players throughout the league, it really helps you get that overall knowledge of everything that's going on in the league as opposed to just your team. Like, for example, I don't play fantasy baseball at all because I value my marriage. And so I know about the Red Sox, and I know about, you know, some of the stuff that's going on in the AL East. And that's pretty much it. Like, the National League is like, here there be dragons, as far as I'm concerned. But as far as football
really
is concerned,
year,
I know
what
every team's doing. I know who sucks. I know who's good. I know all the names. And you have to in order to be competitive. But it really helps you get that overall knowledge of the entire sport as opposed to just your team. And it really helps you enjoy the sport a lot more, I find.
It does. Although I have to say it's kind of frustrating a little bit, because when you have an offense, everyone's working together. So there are certain things, like someone might get a touchdown, but it took, you know, certain people on the offensive line to make that possible. And so sometimes it's frustrating that certain people that are on your team might be helping and they're not getting any credit.
Like, for example, when I had Priest Holmes last year and the bastard Larry Johnson decided to take every bloody touchdown from him until Priest Holmes died.
Yes, honey. Yes. Breathe.
I'll take the other side of that, because I had Larry Johnson and he made me quite happy throughout the end of the season.
You're one of those guys. You're one of those.
Not my
guys.
Fault they left until the seventh
so
round.
A lot of
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so there are certain things that, like, when you are making, as you were saying, that the people make choices as what things get what points and how many points, and also who drafts what position. And we have played it so that we've played entire defensive lines, and we've also played it by defensive player. And so there's certain choices you can make, and that influences, I think, how much you have to work at it, but also how interesting you can find it or how frustrated you can get.
All right, so I guess we should go into the ratings. Steve, why don't we lead off with you, and then we'll work left to right on your radio.
I think that...
in the words of Howard David.
I would probably give it I'll give it a 7. I think that it's very good for a free service. Obviously, if you get very serious about it, there are better services out there that you obviously have to pay for them. Generally, a league will cost, I don't know, anywhere from $80 to $150. That's generally split among 10 to 14 people. But, you know, if for a free service, I think that for what they charge, it's a little bit on the expensive side. I think that the $15 that they charge for Stat Tracker is basically enough for you to get entrance into one of the more expensive league software by itself with all the other features that come along with it. So I find that some of the features that they do charge for are on the expensive side, though it is worth mentioning that if you have multiple teams, you only have to pay for Stat Tracker once.
Okay.
So it does become a better deal in that case. But I think that for what it provides, it's the best free service out there. And there are things that it could do better, but for free, I think it's a good service. So I would give it a 7.
All right. I'm going to agree with that. I actually would have given it a 7 as well. I think they've made some improvements. I do like Stat Tracker, actually, and I normally get it because Clea and I can both follow our teams on any league that we're playing. But I agree that, you know, it could do some things better. But for a free service, I think it's pretty useful in that regard. So I would give it a 7 as well. Clea?
Set Tracker is $15 this year.
I actually thought it was $9.95, Steve. You said it was $15? I thought it was $9.95 for me. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, is it?
Because I don't know if I'm going
to...
I don't know if I'm going to agree for you to pay for it.
Because it's just...
No, you mean agree in the past, since I already paid for it last week, so I could look at my team winning. But
all right, well, yeah, I'm fine with the 7.
Oh, yeah, it is $10. I'm sorry. $10, not 15, okay. So.
All right, we got to keep these guests in line here.
Right, I know. Get sued by Yahoo Fantasy Football for free. So, Clea, what's your rating?
7's fine with me, too.
All right, so we give it a 7 for Yahoo Fantasy Football. All right, we conclude the night by talking about the Nowhere in Mulberry podcast, and you can find this at www.nimpodcast.blogspot.com.
Next Wednesday, the season finale of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Steven?
Get the hell out of here, Bill.
That's the trick.
Damn you, Reaper.
So he's a dumbass.
Get out of there! It's a trap!
Everything is going to change. The season finale of Nowhere in Mulberry. Tune in!
And I guess the best way to explain what this is a podcast that was submitted to us for review. And essentially what this is a review of pop culture, I think is the best way to put it. Essentially, you have a group of people sitting around. There's 4 or 5 people, I believe, in the room who talk for a long time. We'll get to that when we get to the timing of it, about movies that have come out, about TV shows, about things related to popular culture, DVD releases and stuff like that. They focus a lot on TVs and movies, I guess. But that's basically the idea. And they're very much kind of like a... They're sort of like Howard Stern for nerds, I think is the way I would refer to them. I mean, they use the sound effects in the background. I'm going to explain that.
No, I guess you're right.
They use like sound effects in the background. They have like sort of these joking things. They have somebody who does the news segment.
I guess you're right.
And when I say the nerds thing, I'm not necessarily being...
And she's a woman, actually. The woman,
and she's a woman. Yeah. So I'm not being pejorative there about it. I mean, it's sort of, you know, if you really like the kind of super culture, you know, geeky type of stuff, then it's good for that sort of thing. And I guess, what did you guys... I guess we'll start with Clea and then go over to Steve. Clea, what did you think about this show?
Well, I wouldn't say Howard Stern. A lot of radio morning broadcasts, which I think is a little bit based, not on, on a little bit on Howard Stern, a little bit on, what's his, the face that the other guy we listen to in the morning. No, we don't listen to Howard Stern. We listen to the other guy.
I miss in the morning. No, but...
A lot of it
you
is...
You mean you guys aren't listening to podcasts in the car?
We don't listen to Howard Stern.
In the car I do, but in the radio when I wake up, I need a podcast alarm, you know?
Yeah. okay.
But a lot of radio stations do that, like popular, like in the morning and in the drive afternoon, they have everyone kind of talking about pop culture, and they have the one person that does the news, and the one person does this, and they'll have little things that come on the background, and little odds and ends. And so it has that, and then they'll have different segments. They have their TiVo segment. That's where they talk about shows that are going on that week.
Yep.
And then they have certain movies that they watch. And they seem to love their craft.
They're very into it.
They know a lot of this season, last season, numerous seasons shows to the point that they can talk about these people with names and say, oh, and then he was, this is different from when his character.
And then on X, Superhero, Fat Mama did this. I'm like, Fat Mama?
What? No, no, no. Well, yeah. But I mean, they could be talking about a particular show that's coming up this season and say, so-and-so who played so-and-so in this other TV show. And I am a little bit of a TV addict, but they surpass me by...
They bring us to
mile.
Our knees when it comes to pop culture thing. Yeah,
I would agree myself as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A little
so,
starving.
But I do feel that I think they do bite off a little bit more than they can chew, and I feel like I would like them to choose what they're going to be. Either they're going to be Mystery Science Theater and make jokes over TV shows and commercials and previews for movies and movie scenes and talk and make comments while they're listening to them, or they're going to be Best Week Ever and talk about what's in the news and what's in pop culture that week. I kind of feel like they need to choose. Because otherwise, the episodes are too long, and I can't hear what you're trying to talk about if you're talking over it like Mystery Science Theater all the time.
Right.
So
right.
I feel like they should choose one of those two things, and then they should run with it. And I think that they do actually a fairly good job of it. Sometimes they think they find themselves very funny when I didn't find them funny at all. But there are other times where they are quite entertaining.
Yeah.
And I think smart and witty at times. So I think that they could, and obviously they have a fan base. They're up to episode, 52 now?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're going strong. But I do feel that they could even go further if they could focus a little bit, or maybe split off into two podcasts so that we can really get an idea.
I was going to suggest that as well, because you guys were talking about Love, Long, and Prosper a couple weeks ago, and you were saying that that show needed to be split up to focus more. And I would argue doubly so for Nowhere and Mulberry. I think that one thing that might be, I don't want to say holding them back, because I don't want to imply that, you know, they're not living up to their full potential, but something that maybe could keep keeping some people from listening to them is you go into iTunes and you see the episode length right off the bat, and your immediate reaction is, I don't have time to listen to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just
hour
it's
and
very,
a half.
It's very long, and it doesn't seem like they're really doing a lot to tighten it up necessarily.
I agree.
I mean, one of the things that I noticed is that they have these sweepers that intro all of their segments.
Yes, yep. We were going to talk about that.
They're pretty much consistently 30 seconds of instrumental music.
Yep.
And right.
Yep. Absolutely.
You're sitting there,
and
it's like, okay, is this? Yeah, it's like, okay, is this over yet? Is it, you guys going to get back to talking?
Yeah, like, when do we get to the next stage? Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it's like, okay, I mean, if it was 10 seconds or if it was 30 seconds, but with them doing some sort of a skit or something like that, it might be a little better, but it just really, it almost stops the momentum to some degree when they have this really long sweeper.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, when are you guys going to start talking again? And,
yeah, right. I agree.
And another thing that I noticed is that they rely a lot on some visuals, but... And again, one of the things is that they're talking over the clips, which is kind of a pet peeve of mine in general, leaving the mics open when something else is playing, because I spend more time trying to figure out what's going on, both because it's a visual thing that they're playing, and they're obviously watching it and laughing at it, and they're clearly enjoying it, but I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. There was one instance where they were playing the clip from the television reporter who got beaten up, and
bottle or whatever.
Right, and they didn't set it up. Either they didn't set it up, or I missed them setting it up. And
they
all I hear is just someone getting battered, and I'm like, "What is going on?" And it took me two-thirds of the way through. It took me a good two-thirds of the way through to figure out what was going on, and then I was in on the joke. But it's like, if I have to spend time figuring out what's going on, then I can't laugh along with them, and I want to laugh along with them because they're having such a good time that it's infectious.
Exactly.
But I want to be able to be included in that, and sometimes I feel excluded because I can't see what's going on.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
And that's kind of where I feel like they need to choose. Either they're going to be talking about what happened that week and then actually let you listen to what happened and then talk about it, or they're going to be Mystery Science Theater where they play something and then they talk over it and make fun of it, which can be very funny at times.
Yeah, and I
can't do both because then you don't know what's going on and you can't actually know what they're talking about.
I agree, and I think that there's two ways to deal with it. I think it's possible if they have a webcam to make it into a vidcast and make it so that people can actually see the clips that they're watching. I mean, that's one possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The other possibility is to split it in two, but I'm absolutely 100% in agreement with Steve because it's a strange combination. On the one hand, these huge bumpers at the beginning and end and these long music themes that don't seem to lead anywhere are mixed in oddly with sort of cutting through shows. And I also felt that there was a lot of inconsistency there.
Yeah.
You know, on the one hand, for about, you know, six shows in a row, they'll make the same joke, which is, and then, you know, we'll find out what will happen on So You Think You Can Dance, and then they play this clip where they've obviously looped it, so it just goes over and over again. They're like, well, who cares who won on So You Think You Can Dance? And then Big Brother All-Stars, and they go through that, and then they're like, well, who cares who won on Big Brother All-Stars? So they make the same joke five times in a row, and then they'll spend 20 minutes talking about this obscure part of one show that I'm like, what? Why are we spending the time on this? I mean, it desperately needs editing. I mean, my opinion, it's got to get down to an hour, because asking people to stick around for an hour and a half to listen to a show which doesn't, it's not like it's an hour and a half of tight material, it's almost like an hour and a half of raw material which needs to be edited down to an hour and a half. And I understand that it's hard for them to do that because they don't want to get rid of the feel of a live show, but the problem is it's not a live show, right? I mean, this is not a live stream, it's a recorded show,
right?
And to me, you know, all the stuff with sort of some of the jokes not being funny and everything else is undercut even more by the length of the show. I think they're at their best when they are doing Mystery Science Theater, actually. I think they're at their funniest when they are commenting on things that are going on. But as Steve says, it's hard to be in on the joke with them sometimes because they're cutting so rapidly from thing to thing, or they're spending forever on something which they haven't set up previously. So I think they need to edit. I really do.
Or it's Best Week Ever, but it's on the radio. So it's like you can't see what it is that they're making fun of.
Yeah.
And just to stay on the editing side for just a second, on a technical front, first of all, you could probably cut 5 to 10 minutes off just with, you know, the little flubs that you're doing as a live show. Like, there was one point where they were interrupting each other with sound effects, and you could clearly edit that out, and you could take out quite a bit of that.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Or, you know, you listen to it, and you say, oh, well, this joke didn't really work, let me cut that out. But another thing that you really need to do, especially because you have so many sound clips, and you have so many people, you really need to keep the levels consistent.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
One thing that I noticed a lot is that, in particular, the clips were a lot lower than their voices. And they'll be listening to it with the mics open, and they're not, maybe not even saying anything, and just laughing along with it. But the laughing is so much louder than the clip that I can't hear what the clip is doing. So, again, I can't laugh along with.
Yeah, we had to spend the entire time listening with our hand on the volume.
I had to ride the volume control because you would have these moments where they're just like, ha, ha, and I was like, it would be painful. And I understand that's part of the shtick, too, you know, sort of laughing so you kind of clip it. That's also very Howard Stern-y. But again, I totally agree, especially that between the clips. It makes the whole experience unenjoyable. Can you imagine trying to listen to it in an iPod where you're just like up, down, up, down, up, down, up with the volume, down to the volume? I mean, they've got to run a compressor over it or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
I listened to it in a number of different environments. I listened to it on my iPod. I listened to it in the car because it was so long. By the time I got to it, I got to work. It's very jarring when you're really concentrating on that clip, and all of a sudden a laugh comes in. It blows your ears out because you're turning it up and you're concentrating trying to hear it.
Right.
So it definitely is kind of a jarring experience there.
Right.
No doubt about it. All right. So what do we want to say for a rating? I guess we can start with Clea and then me and then Steve. I guess Clea, what do you want to say about this?
Oh, wow. I think that they have a lot of potential, and I worry that they've gotten a little too comfortable because they're up to like 52 now and they've gotten a swing, and I think they're having a lot of fun. But I do think that they are quite talented, and I think that more people could get the benefit of them if they would just make some changes.
Yep.
So I want to give them a 6.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's what I would have said, too. I think that the show desperately needs editing and audio control and, you know, that kind of thing. And I do think they need to make a choice about what kind of thing they want to be, because, as I say, an hour and a half is just too long. Having said that, I do think there's potential. And, yeah, I would be tempted to say a 6 as well. I wouldn't necessarily have said that at first, but there are a lot of funny parts that are in there, but they're just these gems you have to pick out of the larger mix. So I want to see more of the gems and not as much of the mix. So I would say a 6 out of 10 here. Steve, what about you?
I was thinking 6 as well. I think that they definitely, I agree, they have a lot of potential. I think that it's almost like you're listening to it and you're just like, this show could be so much better than it is.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's bad, but there's so much that they could do with it to really make it shine and really make it, you know, a really something I would look forward to every week. But they just need to cut it down and get it down to that essence where everything is just laugh a minute, as opposed to, well, this is funny and then 20 minutes of this and then 10 minutes of this.
Right.
I think if they could just distill it down to the essence of the show and really get it to the point
like the super refined product that is upon further review, right, Steve? I mean,
absolutely.
Fully distilled.
As well as the Wicked Good podcast, absolutely.
I was going to ask about that. I was just going to say, all right, so a 6 out of 10 for that. So then I was going to say, before we let you go, Steve, we need to ask very quickly about the two shows you do. You do Extra Points and Wicked Good, and do you want to give the websites and just a very quick explain that a little very quickly?
Well, my first podcast is Extra Points, the Fantasy Football Podcast, where we help you earn extra points every week. It's me and my buddy Scott, also from our alma mater, who we talk about fantasy football for about 30, 45 minutes every week, give you waiver wire picks, talk about the key news of the week and anything else, answer listener emails, help you out with your fantasy league, try to make you as successful as you can be, or at least more successful than I've been this season so far. and you can find that at www.extra-points.com. And my other show is the Wicked Good Podcast, which I do with my lovely wife, Maureen, and it's just us. We're both transplants to New England, so we talk about our experiences having moved to New England from different parts of the country and our various misadventures at restaurants or the flea market or whatever else happens to happen to us during the week. We talk about television, we talk about movies, we talk about video games, we play some music. It's a great time. And you can find that at www.wickedgoodpodcast.com. And you can, of course, find both of those in the iTunes Music Store as well.
Very, very cool. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening again. Ask everybody to stay tuned in as well. And we want to thank Steve from Wicked Good and Extra Points. Thanks so much, Steve, for being the guest reviewer. We really appreciated it.
My pleasure. Thanks you so much for having me. It's a lot of fun.
And I'm glad we had it. I'm glad we were able to get this done. And it's a little bit of a longer show, but that's okay, because we had some good stuff to talk about, and it was gaming. You know what I'm saying? It's gaming. So don't forget to leave us comments, leave us messages, do all those cool things you can do on furtherreview.net, and give us your feedback on Steve's performance. You know, did he do a good job? You know, would you trust him for your fantasy football team? You know, all those sorts of things are possibilities. So.
Okay. 10 out of 10.
Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See ya.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.